Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of Scale Up Consulting and author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe to scale up, founders really need to shift their mindset and be agile and alter their thinking as the tide moves forward. And here to talk with me today about that is Holger. Holger is the CEO and founder of RealRate and also DigiOptions. And, you know, super excited, Holger, to have you on the show today to dive into the detail of a founder's mindset. Welcome.
Hi, Richard. Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Brilliant. And folks, as always, I like to give a bird's eye view as to what we're going to be jumping in today. And scaling up and scaling companies comes in all shapes and all sizes. And for almost all founders out there, growth is a goal, right? But have we ever stopped to think, why do some companies scale exponentially and others seemingly take a long time and it's painful to achieve what they want to achieve? Perhaps more than anything else, this depends on the founder's mindset. Scaling companies are built on processes that have been designed with the intention to scale. Efficiency, repeatability, and simplicity are the goals. This means that as a leader and a founder in a company, problems are foreseen and overcome long before they actually emerge. If we take an example, folks, we all know the Amazon story. Amazon, as we know, began as a startup. It didn't grow to become one of the largest companies in history by simply duplicating human effort. Instead, the Amazon founders shifted their mindset as they scaled. They created intelligent processes with relentless focus on the customer. They coupled this with the obsession for predictability, efficiency, and also repeatability. Right? So, you know, let's bring Holger into the discussion today. And maybe let's start at the top and let's discuss some of the characteristics that founders need. And, you know, Holger, what do you think as a person that's been through this a number of times and also most probably interacted with other founders, what do you think are the characteristics founders need to embody as they scale up their fintechs and their businesses?
So I guess there are different ways to do it. My way maybe is a quite special one. So I'm quite positive. So I really like to learn new things. For example, if I'm telling some friends, I'm watching YouTube videos, they are laughing at me. But for example, I'm lying in my bed in the evening watching great lectures from US universities about artificial intelligence for free on YouTube, just for fun before going to sleep. So really having an intrinsic motivation to learn. Yeah, I'm quite positive. So of course there are problems. You know, if you talk to some people, they say, oh no, there are no problems, just challenges. No, there are problems for me. That's totally fine, but they should not prevent you from trying it again. And if it's not working, changing a little bit, trying again. So that's what I learned from being a serial entrepreneur. You need to adapt and you need to be flexible. So if there is a customer asking for something and willing to pay, you really should give it a try and walk that way. maybe instead of just focusing the way you figured it out maybe years ago, and then you will meet new people, new markets, new opportunities. And that's how it was with my very first startup. I've been founding it in, oh, that's so long, 1997. So that was before the first internet bubble. And we struggled quite a bit for some years. And finally, we had to shut down that company. We were making, by the way, a stock market forecast, which still is a quite hot topic today.
Yeah, yeah.
But before we shut down that one, we made a spin-off. That's expert.net. That's now led by my twin brother. And that's a quite successful company, having more than 30 employees, big international customers like Amazon. And you've been mentioning that already. So that's a nice coincidence. They really restarted it, and they took the core. So we had a mathematical core, how to make stock market forecasts. Now they are using the same mathematical course to make online bidding for ads in the internet. So it's a quite different application, but the origin still is the same. So if you're flexible enough, sometimes it makes sense and you have success finally.
Yeah, yeah, nice. And I like some of those characteristics. It's about adaptability, going out there and educating yourself. There's great stuff out there for free. And also, you know, you could also even go out and educate yourself as a leader through the likes of coaching, if you feel that that's the thing to do, right? But a few of the things I always say to my clients, you need to make certain you are healthily obsessed with your company, right? You also need to make certain that at certain points, that at all points, you have goals to attain and you are goal-focused. You want to achieve certain goals within certain time periods, right? And I also feel that as a transition, when you're scaling different parts of your business or you're going through different shifts in your business, your leadership slightly changes, right? You might go through various types of leadership. And I think one of the things that I realized, and I always mention to my clients, you need to, at a certain point in time, you need to start being inspiring. You need to inspire a group to achieve something. And that group is not just internal, but also external. You're talking to customers and also obviously internal folk. We've already mentioned the learning side of things. What I also think is vital is making certain that you have strategy, but you also have a opportunistic outlook on life and also business, right? And I think to what you were saying, that allows you to be slightly agile in the way that you operate. Obviously, you just mentioned a great example there. You shut down a business, but you're quite opportunistic in the way that you looked at the future and you're able to create a spin-off, right?
Yeah, that's right. You're also right when you say we need goals. And indeed, I need to force myself to define goals and to stick to goals. And of course, if you talk to customers and especially to investors, they want to have long-term perspectives and business plans. But to be honest, I don't like it too much because, for example, if you write a business plan, it's like a 3 to 5 year projection. If you have a young startup, everything is changing. And to be honest, after 1 year, you can just throw it in the waste bucket and start over again. And one more thing even is, if you're talking to VCs, so their business model is to invest in startups. And the way to calculate it is like 9 of 10 investments will be nothing. So they will get bankrupt. Yeah. And the one left, that needs to get a unicorn. So that's why I'm, in a sense, forced to provide business plans with returns of 10,000 percentage points. And finally, I'm not believing in those plans myself anymore. So that's a little bit strange. And I try to be more honest and to be a little bit more humble, to be honest, which is more difficult since right now we are on the verge of entering the US market, being humble there, that's not the way to go. But
it's true. But, I saw the other day someone posted, someone posted a picture of them in a Lamborghini, them building a pool. It's just a slightly different market, isn't it? You got to get out there and show your wealth rather than the European way and the UK way, which is a bit more conservative.
Yeah, definitely. And in Germany too. But in Europe, it's still working. So last year, we had a small round for RealRate. We got five business angels, serial business angels and companies. And I did not promise too much, and I hope I will be able to keep it. And I really like that one too. So being humble and honest, let's see whether that's a way to succeed finally. But if you want to build long-term trust, promising too much might be difficult too. So, yeah.
I hear what you're
saying. And also, since we were talking about goals, that's just one thing I wanted to mention too. So one day a week, my brother's coming to my place and we're co-working together.
Nice.
And it's my younger brother. It's Carl, and he's the CTO. And sometimes he's forcing me, telling me, Holger, so when will we be releasing the next AI-based company ratings for the US? And the way I start my day is, oh, that's a nice feature I would like to implement like today. It's really fun doing it. I would like to see the outcome. Playing around a little bit, that's always what's driving me. Of course, if the team's growing, I need to talk to the people to motivate them. But I guess I also can motivate them with small, nice examples. Yeah. And I would think, do not become a big corporate manager within a small startup too early. That's my way.
Oh, yeah. No, I 100% agree with that. I mean, you need to be able to understand where you are in the growth cycle and adapt accordingly and shift accordingly. And also part of that is, I think you're alluding to it, is making certain that at various points in time, you are looking and working as a founder, as co-founders, you're working on your business and you're not always dragged into the department's, I don't want to say, yeah, the department problems or the department's sort of maybe things that need to get done day in, day out. Because I've seen the most successful entrepreneurs out there have a innate capability of working on their business. You look at, you know, I'll give some big names, Steve Jobs, Elon Musk even. These guys are working on their business. They're not working in their business. And what practical ways have you been able to work on your business rather than in your business that lead you to continuing to expand?
Yeah. So I'm doing both, working in and on. So yeah. When I started RealRate, it was a one-man company. It was just me. So I quit a well-paid job in a big corporation. So I was the appointed actuary of a German insurance group. That was really nice, but I felt I couldn't change anything. Mm. And then I wanted to change something. And I founded RealRate, but I really started working and creating the software myself. So I was working like 2 or 3 years in a dark room developing the software. Then finally, that was quite a surprise. I won the PyTorch AI Hackathon. PyTorch is one of the most widely used AI software tools.
Cool. Brilliant.
Which is totally great because my brothers and the others in the team, they're the developers, but yeah. I could show that making AI explainable and fair, that's the point I was working on. So they liked it. And from that point in time, we grew the team. We hired some developers. So I have my brothers on board. We have developers from Nepal, which is quite crazy too. And I founded the company in the US. So the mother holding is a US company. That's the first time I did it. And then we went through the usual process, talking to investors, going to boot camps, talking to like-minded co-founders.
Yeah.
And that's my business right now. Yeah. So creating new connections, getting more ideas, getting more customers, and really spreading out a big network and even like going on the podcast. That's part of it too. When I was younger, I was quite shy, and it was quite difficult for me to talk to people or even to pick up the phone and call someone. I had to learn it, and now, indeed, I like it, and that's part of the business and working on the business the way you would like to formulate it.
Yeah, I like it, and I have a similar story. I mean, you know, a few years ago when I left Accenture, you know, I wanted to create something. I wanted to be part of a wave of creating more innovative, more accessible fintechs and financial services platforms. So I set up, you know, Scale Up Consulting, and I did, you know, a lot of working in your business, a lot of building teams and delivering consulting projects for various clients. And I realized that, just like you mentioned, I realized that, you know, this is all cool, but there's no impact beyond the four walls of a client delivery room or a client project. So I set up various channels, right, to allow me to, you know, have a greater impact on the fintech ecosystem and the financial services ecosystem, i.e. through podcasts, through content, etc. And what I realized was similar to your realization. Once you start getting out there, and once you start communicating more, once you start outflowing more, there's a lot more inflow that comes. There's a lot more, there's different types of opportunities that come to your door through working on your business rather than always working in your business. And it doesn't mean that I don't work in my business, because you do have to step into certain things at points in time. But the realization that more communication and also getting away from maybe a more introverted person to an extroverted person was a journey in itself. Yeah. I think my first podcast was like, you know, I was like, okay, let's switch the camera off because I'm freaked out. You know, now I'm like, yes, camera's on, man. Let's go for it. But it's all about getting out there and communicating and making certain that your audience and your public know you, and also that your team can follow that message, right?
Definitely. Some months ago, I was on another podcast, and we talked about the rating seals we provide to big companies. The host suggested, so he was very online fine, and he suggested, it should not be just a seal. It should be like a widget which could be implemented on the website of your customers, and you could click on it. You would be redirected. You would get additional information. You could see the change with respect to the previous year. And I said, yeah, all great ideas. Thanks a lot. Everything noted. So you learn a lot every day. And sometimes others' ideas are the best ones.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we're talking about building here. And we're talking about shifting. We're talking about scaling. And going back to my experience of building my business, it's a lot about, you know, you get into the weeds of building departments, then hiring different people to come in there, specialist hires to solve specialist things. Maybe there's a marketing person or a branding person, or maybe there's a consulting expert in a specific function for myself, obviously. So we're building up departments, we're building up knowledge, we're building up our brand. And then we have to go off and we have to start leading this team, right? We have to lead them along a path.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
What's that shift from builder's mentality to leader's mentality? And how does that shift take place as you're moving along the growth spectrum? You know, maybe, I don't know if it's a light bulb moment or it's a, you know, listen, I've got a team of 30, I've got a team of 50, I've got a team of 100 or 200. I need to lead this team and move them forward rather than getting stuck in the nitty gritty. As a founder, how does that, the mindset shift change from builder to leader?
You need to push yourself a bit. And what helped me is I'm, in a sense, forced to go out to get clients and to get investors. And then you have schedules and calls, and you need to be well prepared. You need to have showcases, marketing material. So every time you're getting better a little bit. reaching out to other people, getting more calls. And then you have something like a hard schedule, having calls every day. And that's why I forced myself to get more communicative and become a leader. When it comes to organizing the company, the first step is, if you're growing, you see you will have regular meetings. But I prefer having regular meetings, but very, very short ones. Mm-hmm. So I have regular meetings being 15 minutes, and the longest is half an hour. That's a Monday meeting, like the sprint planning meeting where all the developers come together. But we keep it very short. That's the way we like to organize it, to communicate, especially if you work with developers. You can kill every developer just by putting several meetings a day in their schedule. Yeah, yeah. They won't be productive anymore. Yeah. So give them the freedom. And when talking, it's like educating ourselves. So you can see it here. We're on video. I have my draw board here. So I'm always drawing sketches on the draw board. And sometimes, unfortunately for them, even writing down mathematical formulas, because the AI core, it's quite a mathematical core. But for me, it's important not just to give a task to someone, because this, many people say that's management, defining a task, having a time schedule, asking when it's delivered. I prefer to have it in a way that everyone understands the whole they're working on and the small part they are providing to the whole cake. Once they got it, you will get better results, because they're not just doing what they are told, but they are thinking and improving and changing. So that's what I learned from being in a big company with thousands of employees. You have your specialists, but to be honest, they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's pity.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been there as well. And you got a lot of noise at the top because there's no clarity as to what's going on in the engine room, right? And no one really wants to roll their sleeves up and get down and dirty. But by the way, as you wrap up this part of the podcast, you know, what is, as for the founders out there and the leaders out there that are building and scaling up their companies, what is the one bit of advice that you want to give them that they can take home today and go, you know what, that's moved me forward, that 1%? What would you like to say to them?
So sometimes there is a window and an opportunity and a chance, and you need to be able to see it and simply to grab it, deviating from your original plan. That's the one thing. And on the other hand, the other thing is, I'm 50 years old already by now. And many people think, so it's like a sprint. But if you are in the startup business for decades, you can't survive. That's not healthy. If you're doing a sprint all the time, it's more like a marathon. So really being steady, having your vision, and sometimes slowing down a bit, but week by week, having your small progress. Otherwise, you simply will burn and not survive. So it's really tough out there. And sometimes lean back, take your time, take a breath, and then move on. Because to be honest, it can simply kill you. It's so fast and you need to adapt every week. That's important. And having people you can trust, that's quite important too.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant words of advice. And now we get into the flash round. Drum roll.
Yeah.
There we go. By the way, folks, still looking for the drum. If anyone wants to drop me a note, drop me a note. Still need to get one and have a real drum roll. That will happen hopefully very soon. But here we go. What is the flash round? The flash round is some more fun at the end of the podcast. What do we do? I ask Holger three yes or no questions, and then I give the mic to Holger and he asks me one. Those are the rules, and let's start the game. So here's the first one, Holger. What's more vital for growth, communities or product?
For me, it's a product, because if the product is fine, it will spread around. So then the community will build afterwards if you're really having something great and special.
Brilliant. Great answer. So As a founder, what's the most important attribute to have? Someone that wants to go out and build something, or a leader that wants to go out and change the world?
I prefer the startup founding atmosphere in the garage. So really wanting to build something. Maybe later on you will be forced to become a leader in order to achieve it. But building it, that's the most important thing for me.
Yeah, I love it. What's the most important characteristic? We spoke about this earlier on. What is the most important characteristic as a startup, well, as a founder? Being obsessive or being opportunistic?
Maybe being obsessive is a bit more important. And if being a little bit crazy helps you a lot achieving something, just a little bit. There are too many really crazy people out there.
Yeah, love it. Great, all great answers. And now I give you the mic, my friend, and you can ask me anything you like.
So early on, I told you I learned from podcast where I was. So I would like to ask you, what was the most crazy thing you learned from a guest on your show?
The most crazy
thing? It's not a yes, no. So it's a more complicated question. Sorry for that one.
Yeah. The most craziest thing that I've learned from a guest on my show. Yeah, I've heard lots of crazy things. Let's go through the rule. I mean, in all honesty, I think one of the things I've learned more recently, and it's not crazy per se, but it is a question I'm asking a lot of guests over the last few weeks, the last few episodes. It's the one around community or products, right? So I've asked not only yourself, but I've also asked a few other, you know, very well-known, you know, fintech leaders out there. What is the way to, for growth? Community-led or product-led? And it's quite interesting. I'll get the results out to the wider community later on. But I think, you know, a lot of people are looking at communities as a way to really get their product out there. So although they might have a product, they're looking to build communities around that product and really, really take that and leverage that community to ramp it up. So the likes of Eprezen.com, David is doing a great job around that. The likes of Max at Finzim is doing a great job around that. So I think not the craziest, but I think going forward, it's about how leaders and how fintech founders can create a community feel around their product that's going to potentially give them the most, I don't want to say the quickest route, but potentially a successful route to scaling up. So it's product, yes, but community seems to be quite an interesting play right now.
Yeah, I see. And I guess most people would have answered community, but yeah,
they're different. By the way, I would say out of the 10 I've asked, there's been, you know, 60-40, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'm not a total outlier. Right?
Yeah, no, not at all. But so 60-40. I'm going to continue asking the question because I think it's interesting to see how different people are scaling up. For example, the likes of Swissborg, they've done everything around community, but their product is for their community, but their community platform, right? You know, I think it's different ways to do it, and it's something interesting to take a look at. So maybe not the craziest, but definitely it seems like a hot topic out there right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. And lastly, I always ask my guests, how can people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, so on realrate.ai, that's our website, you will find there all the AI-based ratings we're doing, and there's a contact too. And it should be interesting for all the private customers too, not just startup founders, because we really like have a football league ranking table. You see the best companies on the top, the worst on the bottom, and for different industries, you might find it interesting indeed. So just go there and please drop me an email.
Brilliant. And I'll include those details in the show notes, everyone. So those are available for everyone. So, you know, Holger, awesome having you on the show. So I really enjoy jumping into the details that we discussed today. And, you know, looking forward to seeing you guys, you know, grow and, you know, expand into the US successfully.
Thanks a lot for your talk here. And thanks for letting me discussing my view on startup founding and a little bit on real rates. Thanks a lot. It was a great way to start the day.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.